First one always sucks, they say. Here we are. So, it's been a little while actually since I did one of these, but where are we, Jamie? Where are we?
Right now we are in Bucharest, Romania. After a 2 month, we're going to get to see the suit up, the hero suit up scene.
Suit up.
Right now, live. After 2 months in Brasov for a dual synthesizer mastermind, we're in a random hotel now, even though we were in a nice, you know, Airbnb, beautiful apartment the whole time, but we waited until right the very end so that we had to record it.
So we were so productive, we couldn't stop.
We were just too productive, bro. So yeah, we're in just like a Bucharest hotel. Bucharest looks pretty nice, but I think Brasov was better. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've just been grinding it out on our businesses for the past like 2 months, roughly. And now we're leaving to spend the next few months probably apart again. And maybe reuniting in around about August time, so 3 months time roughly.
In this bed. Decided to sit on a bed to record a podcast.
So we're recording a podcast.
This, no good views, but the sun is setting. It's
the sun is setting.
Bad views, to be fair.
Just like the sun is setting on this journey we've been on. We need to get you sit up music, bro.
Right. The thing is, like, some people said you should just lose the tie, and I'm just like kind of tempted because, like, I don't flippin' like ties.
I think the tie is like the key part of the suit.
You think? Keeps it together.
It changes the whole vibe if it doesn't have the tie.
Right. I've got my little Jamie podcast sheet here, and we've got 1 point so far.
Oh, let's go! When did you make that point?
This morning. To be fair, I was wondering about asking you a similar question to this for a while, to be fair. Almost.
Okay, cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Right, so do you just want to start on this then? And see where we go.
Sure. Let's go.
Okay, so you're kind of getting older, as we all are, but do you feel more like drive and responsibility? Like, do you feel more drive as you have more responsibility? Like, since, you know, you're like going out with Mia now and stuff, like,
mm-hmm.
And also I don't know if you're like family is like, yo, bro's making money now, like,
yeah,
is that a thing? Because I heard like both sides, some people saying like, oh yeah, they just want to like hustle it out when they're young and they have no responsibility because they can take a bunch of risk. And I also heard other people say that, like, I mean, this is not your case obviously, but people like guys like just lazing around doing stuff and then they have a kid and then that just gets them like focused. They're like, I need to like actually sort myself out because other people need me now, you know?
Yeah, well, I think for most people who aren't narcissists, I suppose, there's always got to come a time whenever they care more about someone else than themselves. I guess I do sort of feel like that with Mia. I'm not even like that old, like realistically. I'm
old,
like,
magic.
I know, it's so funny. I'm like 23. Like the majority of my life, 23 is gonna seem really young.
Mm-hmm. But I just mean like compared to this very start of your journey, when you're like 18 or whatever.
Compared to 18, all I cared about, bro, it was so so different whenever you're that age. At least for me, because I was just in like university. And all I cared about was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be in university, but I don't want to lose the status of like, oh, I dropped out of university and now I'm working. Like, that was pretty much my motivator. Was like, I really didn't like university,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to be like a low status citizen because I had gotten used to the, oh yeah, I'm going to university. Because I'd spent like the past 2 years being like, oh yeah, I'm doing maths, physics, digital technology as A-levels.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to study computer science. And I feel like I got used to that.
Yeah.
And then like going into university. So then I was like, okay, well, I can't lose this now. So it's like, okay, so I got to get something just as good, if not better, to justify why I'm going to leave university. That was genuinely my mentality.
I do think, obviously not for everyone, but I do think it's like an excuse to stay a child for a lot of people.
University.
Like a socially acceptable way to not mature.
Yeah.
Because I've heard people say who I know who are in university, like, oh yeah, the challenge is figuring out what to do after university. It's like, bro, they still don't know what they're doing. They're just 4 years older and they've, you know, maybe they have something useful, maybe they don't. Most of the time I would say probably not that useful.
As always, it's a nuanced discussion, but I think for some people, it's just a method of learning. But yeah, for a lot of people, it's, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's just like a socially acceptable way to keep having fun. I know a lot of people who, you know, just view university more so as like a place to socialize, party, as opposed to like, oh, I'm really passionate about this thing and I want to build something for myself. Which, I mean, there's pros and cons to both, because sometimes people meet the love of their lives in university. So yeah, I think it comes down to the individual. But for me, I knew it wasn't for me. I didn't have my people there, and I really didn't like studying what I was studying, and I didn't like how it was being taught. And so yeah, 18 was very different to being now, definitely. But there's been so many things in between then. It's about 5 years of maturing, so.
What's things cause the most growth? Is it the responsibility or something else?
Yeah, so.
Just sitting in a wall of fire.
What's caused the most growth? That's an interesting one. If I want to give you a proper answer, I'll have to think.
Sure. Knowledge.
Yeah, I think Mia's caused the most growth, definitely. Because
That's cool.
there's lots of different second and third order consequences of something like that. Yeah, basically, once you get into like a really serious relationship, you're like, oh my gosh, like I love this person and I'm definitely gonna spend my life with them. Yeah, I mean, especially the fact for me it was long distance. It wasn't, you know, it would be different. It would be different circumstances if it was like, yeah, for example, met in university, and it's just like, well, we can just stay here and keep messing around and just like hang out every day. But in my case, it was like, well, we're in different countries, and yes, I was able to go visit her because of holidays, because of my specific situation, but only, you know, a few weeks at a time. And so to even see her, I was forced to level up because now it's like I had to find a way to make money. So a lot of people, I don't even know if they fully know this, but for a period I just dropped my job, dropped my income without, I really did not even have much money just to go see Mia again. And yeah, there was a whole period where I was barely making any money. I only like from a few little projects here and there, like a couple $100, with very, very little savings. Just like going to see Mia, Mia coming to see me and spending time. Which, to be fair, I definitely was not very productive during that time. But, well, I guess in some ways I was, because I filmed some videos I did well on my channel. But,
Invisible assets,
yeah,
the
exactly.
value of the relationships.
Not too, yeah. It's just, yeah, not in the typical way productive. But in a lot of ways, I think it was, yeah, incredibly valuable experience. So, yeah, there's that. And then, yeah, just the side that, you know, you want to be able to provide, I suppose. And yeah, make sure she feels safe and protected. And yeah, now it's like my future has more of a structure now. I can see more directly where I'm going, both in terms of like, okay, so this is where what I'm working towards is going, and because of Mia. So now it's like, yeah, a lot more responsibility to like make sure it happens, I guess, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, I want to make money, which is what it was like when I was 18.
I don't want to get judged for dropping out of uni.
Yeah, pretty much. That was it. That was my core motivator.
It's fine though. Like, I generally do think, like, especially in the beginning of a lot of people's journeys, is just stuff like that. Like, you know, oh, I just want to, like, get ripped or whatever, or,
Yeah, I think it's okay to start with those
That's what you got, bro.
lower level motivations if it just gets you started, and then you mature along the way. I don't think I'm a unique case. I think a lot of people are like that.
No, 100%. Because I think a lot of people do come from, I don't know, video games or drugs or something else, where it's just like, I don't know, a lot more of like a compulsion. So like, oh, how do I articulate this? Yeah, that. There's not like a whole lot of thought they're just like, this just feels good, go. Like, I just want people to like me. I just want to be flipping rich and drive a Bugatti in Romania.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's a lot of the same things, which is also really interesting. I think a lot of people don't realize, but it's a lot of the same core human, you know, principles whenever people are trying to get rich and get Bugattis and stay in university and get good jobs. It's both forms they are trying to gain status slash fit in slash be loved.
Survival and reproduction.
Yeah, it's just they've got different motivated. It depends, you know. I think the people who want to get rich often feel somewhat like they don't belong in normal society, so then this is like another way to get the status slash love slash approval, whatever, from another group. Yeah, I think this is what everyone's looking for at the end of the day.
Nice.
No matter what you're doing. So you can always relate to anyone.
Yeah. It's cool. Wait, how far are we? Anyway? This is getting deep. Yeah, no, there's a quote you reminded me of earlier where I think it was Naval said, like, I think it was, he had said, like, find God or, like, become a monk. One of those two. Or have children, because at some point you have to love something more than yourself. That was interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. At some point you have to love. Did he say something or someone?
I think he said something. I don't know if people would classify God as someone.
Mm-hmm.
Depends what
you, I guess, yeah, depending on your beliefs. That's an interesting
something
way to look at it.
I think something, yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense too.
Yeah, okay. Well, as little transition here. So we have made a fair few mistakes along the way, I would say. Probably looking back, feel like we wasted time on the causes that didn't lead to the effects that we desired.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what do you think, or what would you go back and say to yourself, slash, what would you say to beginners who want to kind of get in the online business space? Like, what should they be doing? What should they not be doing? Or just from your experience, this doesn't have to be like a blanket, you must do this.
I've got the answers.
Sign up for my website.
Yeah, guys, by the way, I got a newsletter. No, I'm kidding.
Email opt in.
So, just really quick for me, myself, I think the biggest mistake I made for the longest time was not making YouTube channels with an actual channel plan.
Mm.
It was just like random videos
mm-hmm.
That weren't necessarily, it's like, but why are people consistently coming to watch this channel? So that was my own thing that I think if I had learned that was like a key piece for a long time, and everything else could have kept coming at the same rate, but if I'd just gotten that earlier,
mm.
I probably would have been further. Mm. But for people in general who want to get into online business, the quickest way by far, in my opinion, is to just learn one specific skill that ideally you have some sort of interest in, but you know, whatever, that's going to be valuable to a rich person. Learn that skill, join communities, network with people at the same level as you, like we did.
Mm-hmm.
Network with people ahead of you if possible, provide them value for free
up front. Do not say, hey, how can I help you? No, just be like, here, you're struggling with this. I made this for you for free. Take it or leave it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like, yeah, because that's how both of us got started, was providing stuff for free. And sometimes it's not in like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like, oh, look, I made you this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's a good one. Sometimes it can be in maybe less obvious ways. Like if you're joining someone's community
mm-hmm.
who you respect,
mm-hmm.
just being super active in that community, you're not providing value to that person.
Yeah, or like connect them with someone or give them, you don't even have to like generate stuff. I think this is what, you can just like play the arbitrage game, honestly. Like
mm-hmm.
this person knows this, they don't know each other. And you just say, oh, by the way, this person who's really smart says this. And they're just like, oh, thanks. Like, and you get something associated with you because mm-hmm. you made the connection, but you don't have to. It's not like, oh, well, you don't know anything, so I'm not going to listen to you. It's like, well, I'm just taking it from someone else.
Yeah. Yeah, there's tons of ways to do it. But basically, yeah, you just build connections with people at your level, beginners, and you build connections with people ahead of you. And if you just keep practicing that skill, and you keep providing value, and you keep sort of networking, eventually you'll find a way in. All you need is one client, and you can probably make a couple thousand per month mm-hmm. just doing one mm-hmm. thing for one rich person. Mm-hmm. And then once you've got that, then you just have to go all in at that, make sure you deliver great results, and you'll basically be set no matter what happens. Because then you're getting paid to learn.
Yep.
You're learning from the best. Mm-hmm. You're working on it every single day.
Mindset expands if you're working with your someone beliefs, who's really successful.
Your beliefs change. Your identity shifts because now you've got the job, and also mm-hmm. your beliefs change because of the things you're learning from them. And
you're actually going to get paid because they actually have money.
Yeah, they're not just going to drop you randomly because, oh, well, this month was bad, so actually we can't afford to pay you anymore. It's like, if they're rich, and whenever I say rich, I mean like
money, you couldn't bad.
I mean like 6 figures per month at least in revenue. Ideally, yeah, multiple 6 figures per month in revenue. And which might sound crazy to some people. It's like, how do you just start working for those? Well, you just got to network with people. If you network people ahead of you, which by the way, a lot of the influencer stuff you see online are way more easy to network with than I think people realize. Like literally just be active with them and you'll
like
probably interact with them. Even if it's not someone who's like super business savvy, it's like, it's just someone with a lot of followers.
Mm-hmm.
You can just connect with them and they'll probably connect you with someone business savvy. Or better yet, honestly, is someone who doesn't have a lot of followers, but is business savvy, like Andrew. Mm-hmm. I guess he does have sort of a lot of followers.
Andrew Kirby.
600K, Andrew Kirby. But yeah, if you provide great results and you get a testimonial, you've unlocked more network connections through them, you've got social proof, you've got
mm-hmm.
reviews,
mm-hmm.
plus you've built up your skills, so now you yourself are better. You basically can't lose, as long as you actually give it your all once you get in that position.
Mm, yeah, but I think that's the main thing you should focus on. Like, I think most people, if you told them, like, we've got, like, one or more high-ticket clients per month, and you actually have some skill, they're probably going to be like, right, I think I could probably do that. But the main thing is breaking in. So you said network with beginners, like as part, like, as well as people ahead of you, but like, why? What do you gain from that?
Well, how did you get your client? Well, partly, you network with people ahead of you and at the same level as you, right?
Yeah.
So it got you there quicker.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's not valuable. I just want to hear what you say about it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, basically, I mean, Owen's got his own story. He basically did what I just said. And I did the same thing. But just the only difference was I got someone ahead of me to refer me someone. He got someone at roughly the same level. I guess I was ahead of you because I also had a client. But roughly the same level to refer you a client.
Mm-hmm.
Referrals are by far, by the way, the best way to get clients in the beginning too.
That's what the big guys use, right?
Yeah, exactly.
From what I understand.
A lot of the big guys will not even look at your sales page. They only hire off referrals.
They won't look at your sales page.
So don't do sales pages. Network and get referrals. That's by far the strongest way.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. This is something I kind of created the other day, and I'm determined to not butcher this. I came up with this pretty much myself. Like, obviously, I took the inputs and remixed it, but the more case studies and testimonials you have, the less personalized the messaging can be. If you don't know like anything, you've got like no proof, just because you have like a sales page of you talking through like, yeah, this is how the system's gonna work. Like, and if, well, it depends who you're aiming for, but if you're aiming for like the people who are actually gonna be able to give you enough in the beginning to actually make that much of a difference, like, yeah, that's just not gonna do it. Like, the best way, I think, it's like you said, like DMs provide value for free.
And it might take a long time too. You got to be patient. I mean, both you and I were in the online space for like years before we got our clients.
Mm-hmm. But we didn't. I don't think that was necessary. if we knew.
If we knew right from the start, we definitely would have got there quicker, but it still takes time. If you're a complete beginner.
Yeah.
Like you're not just gonna get it within a month or 3 months, I wouldn't even say. I think 6 months is doable. If you like start now with all the right actions, you could probably like get a high ticket client. And by the way, I'm not saying like the way that everyone who wants to make money online should be just, you know, working with clients. I'm just saying that's the best way to start making money online and then learn the skills. And then after that, you can do whatever the heck you want. So if you want to do YouTube or, you know, selling a physical product or courses, coaching, whatever the heck you want to do online. Once you've already broken the false beliefs and you can see that you can do it, you want to put on the light? It's getting sort of dark. Yeah, flick one on.
Yeah, we'll pick up. Work out the blue blocking glasses. I actually do have like an affiliate link for these guys, so I might actually throw that in the description.
Let's go.
I don't actually get paid. Like, you don't get paid if
you sell a certain amount.
Someone like clicks through it. They're not paying me, is it? But, bro, honestly, I just might just leave it. But I think they're good.
You never know. Your audience might like them. But
sleep optimization for entrepreneurs.
But yeah, I think to summarize, that's the best way to get into online, making money online. If you're a complete beginner and you're young and you don't have experience in anything else, if you do have experience in something else, you'll be sorted. You can just start doing that online.
Would you like anything?
Well, I guess not anything, but
like, what if you're like an electrician?
Well, you could probably already have somewhat of an advantage if you're an electrician.
Mm-hmm. SMMA for electricians.
Yeah, because now you know that industry. You probably have connections in that industry.
Yeah.
So you could probably start doing something online.
And then you can niche, and electricians will like.
You've got authority in a niche.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you've achieved something in
anything.
In anything other than like school, then you've got somewhat of an advantage. You could probably
achieve everything in school. Doesn't matter. No advantage. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, well, you can do it in school, but just it's going to be a lot more crowded.
If you want to.
There's a lot of people who would make videos, for example, on school topics.
But wait, we're talking about school with a CH.
Yeah.
Not with a K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were. Maybe you got thinking. Yeah, well, a big mistake, I would say, it's really more like creator economy more than necessarily online business, but people who want to be creators, I think you'd probably agree that I think a big mistake is thinking, like, absolutely being a massive Dunning-Kruger sufferer of the highest order and thinking that you know, like, oh, yeah, I need to focus on the thumbnail and title and the intro, bro, and then, like, that's it, and you're just like, yes, my YouTube channel is going to grow this year, like, I'm gonna just one video away, you know, like, I genuinely think that's like massive. I've seen a lot of people who are just like complete beginners. They've watched like some self-improvement content, and they're like, I'm gonna be a self-improvement YouTuber, and this year I'm gonna grow my channel to 100,000 subscribers.
Yeah,
but they don't actually know, like, I don't think most people actually understand, like, I guess at the very top level we're talking like tens of millions of views a video, you do not understand what goes into that. Like, pretty much everyone, like, unless you really are deep in the industry. To be fair, you don't need that, obviously, to have like a successful business and stuff, but even in education, like, to get to the top of education, I think you still need a lot more knowledge. So that's why I also think a massive thing is like have a piece of humble pie, I think Hormozy would say, and go and find someone really smart, especially if you're young, who's done like kind of something you want to do, or at least in that field, and go and work and learn for them. Because when you have more resources, then you can, like, you know, reinvest and then, you know, grow your knowledge and stuff. And then when you do your like own thing, you can like really like turn it on and bang, you can like really put those calls into effect really quickly. Rather than just like we did, basically, spend like a couple years like trying to figure out like your own, if you want to do content or what, and then just be like, yeah, well, I haven't really got that far.
Yeah, I know. I think that's...
I genuinely think that's, like, one of the biggest mistakes I've been seeing recently.
I'm sure it's the same in a lot of industries that aren't, like, traditional. Yeah, you just get massive Dunning-Kruger effect where it's like, oh, yeah, I know everything. Like, I've watched, like, 10 videos on how to grow on YouTube. And I've watched, like, 5 Mr. Beast interviews. So, yeah, I think I can grow a channel, like, this year. It's about click-through rate, you know?
Oh.
Like, yeah, it's, like, crazy. Because in theory, it looks simple. It's like you just upload videos that people click on and that they watch, and you do that enough times, you build an audience, and then you sell them something that you're like teaching. While some people are able to do it without tons of maybe effort and learning and trying and reiterating, those people basically got lucky. They didn't understand what the causes were, but and they probably wouldn't be able to do it again. So like, there's some personality YouTubers, for example, who are very focused on personality, and they don't actually know why they grew.
They try and teach someone else, and
And then they might teach someone else,
just be a copy of me and see how that goes.
But yeah, anyone who doesn't accidentally stumble upon unique advantages to themselves, there's a lot of learning. There's a crazy amount that goes into it, which is the same in every industry. But just, I think social media in particular just has such an illusion. It's worse than most because it just looks like you're uploading videos and that's it. But you don't realize all the theory and all the research and everything that does go into it. Yeah, there's so much. And we've barely even scratched the surface, even tiptoed across the surface. We've done nothing, bro. And
informed, was it?
Informed.
Consciously incompetent.
Yeah, we're consciously incompetent.
Consciously very somewhat competent.
Very somewhat competent. Yeah, well, we're able to get some results somewhat consistently now. But it's still like magnitudes lower than what it could be if we fully knew. But it's still nice to see progress. So I would say, yes, I would agree. That's a big mistake.
I think that brings in shiny object as well. Like, this new business opportunity that someone's told me about is going to be the new way to get 10K a month from zero in 90 days. And no, like, basically all the time, no. I think if you really do stumble up, if you hear that on social media, it's too late. Like, if that genuinely was, like, a massive opportunity that you actually could exploit, you wouldn't have heard about it. You would have to...
Yeah, that's the key word. If it was something to exploit and you're hearing about it in social media, yeah, it's too late. But you could probably still make it work if you actually tried and...
Yeah, no, yeah, it's not that it doesn't work, but the promise is...
Yeah, yeah.
And you think it's going to be easier. It might be fun for the first week, and you're like, oh, yes, this is fresh, this is new, but you have to go deep eventually on something, I think. Because otherwise, yeah, you keep jumping around. You don't really get anywhere with anything, and you're like, oh, well, this new thing is going to be it, and then you go to it, and it's just the same. You still have to put in the time. You still don't know anything. Well, maybe you know something, but that's why I guess it makes sense to pick something you do have some interest. I think that is actually quite important. Yep. You kind of said earlier that, I can't remember exactly what you said, but it sounded like you weren't sure how massively important it was, but I think you have to have some interest. Like, it's not always going to be fun, but yeah.
In the start, I think it has to either be lots of natural interest / curiosity. Or if you don't have that, then you need to be driven by a lot of pain avoidance.
Yes.
And then once you get good enough at something, it probably just becomes enjoyable anyway. I do believe in that. I think if you, actually take the time to get good at something, you'll enjoy it.
Winning is fun.
Yeah, as long as you don't have, like, trauma connected to it or something. Like, if someone's beating you
with a stick to learn piano and then you get really good at it, you're probably still not going to enjoy piano. But assuming there's no trauma attached, if you get good at something,
you'll enjoy it. If I was beating you, forcing you to become an online business owner, then you might enjoy it.
Yeah.
No, it's a serious issue.
Yeah, so I think, I was sort of motivated by both pain avoidance, but that wasn't quite strong enough, and so that's why I didn't stick with all the other, like, business models I tried, and then eventually I found YouTube and something that I enjoyed, and the combination of a little bit of pain avoidance and quite a lot of natural interest.
Yeah, because you were making films when you were 8, right?
Yeah, I was making films since I was, like, I mean, I always loved films, like, love watching them. I was acting since I was, I don't even know when. I mean, I was dressing up and playing, pretending I was in movies since, like, I could probably walk and talk. Been in plays and stuff since I was, like, super young. And, yeah, making movies myself since I was, like, 8.
Signs were there. Yeah. I was working with my brother on his first bit of content when I was 11. Then did, like, a esports team, which was... to call us that was a bit, I think it just made us feel better about
a bit generous.
But that was content. So yeah, it's interesting looking back. But to be fair, I don't think I ever, well, I was going to try and get into sales and appointment setting at one point, but apart from that, that luckily it was a very slight detour that didn't turn into anything.
Luckily,
maybe like a summer or less, honestly. So
good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's not just for, like, YouTube, but, like, the whole knowledge thing is, like, absolutely huge. Like, yeah. But I like seeing the world clearly, and it sounds so, like, I don't know. I remember the first time I heard, like, Andrew Kirby and people saying that. I just thought, this sounds so, like, fuzzy. Like, what the hell does that... How do I see the world clearly?
And does that see the world clearly sounds fuzzy?
No, I wasn't seeing it clearly then, probably. But no, just, like, what does that even... Like, I knew, like, what it meant, but it seems so vague. You know, like, how do I do that? So, you don't have to see the whole world clearly. I mean, ideally you could, but you want to see the thing you're working on clearly. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's a big thing. It's, like, finding someone who's actually done it. Someone who's riding the bicycle. Not someone who's got a... sales page telling you that they can ride a bicycle, not someone who's, I don't know, you know, read all the books on riding bicycles. Someone who's actually, like, ideally, like, in public results. Like, if you look like Mario Juice, right? Like, there's no way, he's not flipping faking that he has, like, you know, 10 clients or 8 clients with getting, like, hundreds of millions of views a month, or like billions.
Yeah, literally billions of views per month.
Like, yeah, it's not just like some random sales page where it's like some weird, like, oh, I've got this new opportunity.
Yeah, those are much better people to learn from. If you're ever going to buy a course or a program, don't buy it from someone who's, like, directly selling to you. Buy it from someone who you can see publicly without them selling anything. Oh my God, this person is so good. They're where I want to be. They're the expert that can help me with a thing that I genuinely enjoy or want to be good at. And then if they sell something, great. If not, then move on to the next person who's closest to that.
I would say even if they are promoting something, I don't think that's necessarily bad, but the number one thing is they have to be doing it. Ideally, they're doing it now, and they've done it many times for many people.
It depends on the type of promotion. If it's like, oh, I've just discovered this person who's selling me something, I would say don't buy that. I would say find someone who you can already admire, they're doing this thing that you want to do really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you see that they're selling something, then buy it.
I don't know how that's different to what I said.
As in, like, you're not discovering them by them advertising their thing.
Oh, I see. Yeah, no, that wasn't... Okay, I thought you meant don't buy from people who are just promoting their stuff. You mean, like, paid ads, or...?
Well, either could do paid ads. Paid ads isn't necessarily bad. I just mean if you only know them through their... advertisements, whether it's organic or paid ads, whatever, if you only know them by them saying, look at, I can do this thing, I wouldn't buy from them. I would buy from someone who you can actively already see before they try to sell anything, oh my gosh, this person is doing exactly what I want.
Oh, the idea of like buy from people who've already given you value for free.
I guess so, yeah.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, like the Mario Juice one is good because we wanted to learn YouTube, and like there's tons of YouTube gurus you can buy from who are like, I teach YouTube and, you know, whatever. I'm sure some of them are good, but Mario Juice is literally just like, on Twitter, you can just see, it's like, oh, this dude's the retention director for like Mr. Beast and all these other people, like tens of millions of subscribers. And for like ages, he was putting out tweets like, oh yeah, this is what we were doing. This was our thought on this Mr. Beast video that just went live today. And it was like, oh my gosh, this guy's a genius. And yeah, he was just doing that for years. Then at one point he decided he was going to start a cohort, which we're basically the beta testers for. It wasn't even a full thing.
Mm.
And he just announced it. No sales call, no sales pushing, no big promise. He's just like, yeah, I'm just going to do like a 12 week of teaching what I know. We bought it for $5K. Probably one of the best investments I've ever made. And there was no big sales thing. There was no...
That's really nothing. Interesting. Because I didn't even follow your advice then in that situation. You told me about it. Sent me his Twitter. I was like, oh, sounds interesting. Scrolled through like three of his tweets. Like, oh, this guy's actually like legit. He actually worked. This guy's
but
like,
also, all right,
let's get it.
But also, you saw the proof that he worked with Mr. Beast and you'd already seen tons of Mr. Beast.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, the number one thing is they have proof in public. That's
and
like,
you've been watching the proof and admiring it previously.
Oh, I see, right. So don't. Isn't that just don't buy from someone who you don't want to learn from, though? Like, that's like...
Let's see if I can clearly define it.
Because even if he worked with a bunch of creators I didn't like, and he's still really good, that wouldn't put me off, I don't think.
I think it wouldn't have been as good an experience. I think... I mean, in that theory, he's still the same person, so it still would have been good, but like...
Well, obviously Mr. Beast is at the top of the game, so...
Yeah. It's someone who you were already admiring, basically.
I admire Mr. Beast. I don't know if I'd say that.
You don't know if you'd say that. Interesting. You admired his YouTube skills.
I guess I would. He's decent, yeah. No, he's done some cool stuff for sure. I don't know about... Is it junk food content? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. He does help people, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit... It's definitely a little bit junk food content. I think recently, though, he's been steering more to storytelling, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you can still use junk food content, but I think stories are important. His old content was very, I'm doing this crazy thing, and the video's over.
Admiration. Jimmy.
But it was still impressive what he did.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, to conclude that segment, buy from people who have done something you want to do, clearly and undisputedly are actually good at what they say they do.
Yeah, and ideally you've already been admiring their work.
Stop there, honestly, to be honest.
Well, just to clarify what I meant earlier as well, you've been admiring their work before you found out that you could buy something from them, and you admiring their work didn't come from some marketing tactic they were doing. So like Mario Juice wasn't just like,
mm-hmm.
Oh, here's a marketing tactic, let me make a video for Mr. Beast.
I think I agree with that part, but I'm not sure I agree with the part before. Like, say you come across like a guy who is, he's holding a chisel, there's no one nearby, he's standing next to this amazing monument, and he's like, I just made this monument, and I'm setting a course on how you can make the monument. Even if you never heard of the guy before, I think if you came across him and you were like absolutely certain that he made this monument, and you wanted to make monuments like him,
mm-hmm.
even if you hadn't like been admiring his work for years beforehand, I still think that's not necessarily like a dangerous move to buy that.
Maybe not, but I think it's just safer for beginners. I think otherwise it's very, very easy. I mean, there's the potential you'll find something good, but it's very easy to buy something that's not right for you just because they're promising you the world.
Yeah, that's why the proof I think is so important. But what if you're a beginner though, I swear you don't, have you really been admiring anything in this space necessarily?
You might have been.
It might be. This is one course you can buy.
You can also just get started without buying a course and then see what you admire.
Definitely. Okay, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You don't have to necessarily buy knowledge. You can get pretty far with the whole what's the bottleneck framework. Like,
Yeah, but I think you'd be kind of crazy to not try and buy knowledge, too.
Yeah, but you don't have to start with that.
You don't have to start with it, no.
If you're like, okay, what's my biggest problem? Well, I don't know what to sell. Something, I don't know.
Yeah, no, you don't need to buy information to get started.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some decent free stuff out there. Honestly, just pretty much the See the World Clearly thing, I figured out that, to me at least, it was just like, yeah, go after like principles, like that are always true in like basically any scenario that like underpin reality basically, or like certain fields. How else do you see the world clearly? Yeah, go and other people ahead of you. Actually, ask good questions. Don't ask like. Ask specific questions about things that you actually want the answer to or need the answer to, not just like, you got any tips.
I think also part of why what I was saying earlier is really good is just because, yeah, you're also, if you've been admiring them for their work genuinely before you knew you could learn from them, you're also just going to listen way more.
I would agree that is ideal. I would agree that's ideal, but I don't know if it's, I don't know if I'd say it's a requirement.
I would advise it to people though. I'd advise it to beginners.
Financial advice.
If there's beginners listening, that's my advice. Take it or leave it.
Disclaimer.
Just some random guy. I'm not doing that crazy yet.
The Shoesby podcast is not regulated or certified by the financial advisor.
I am not a financial advisor.
This is not financial
advice. Disclaimer. I'm going to give you financial advice, but put a disclaimer saying I'm not a financial advisor.
Spend like an hour giving.
I am not a lawyer in the corner.
I'm not your mentor. Yeah, and then also just like, well, going off the principle, generally just like watch Sam Oven's videos. That's kind of like seeing the world clearly, genuinely, like unironically, like I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think he didn't see the world totally clearly in some of those videos because he disagrees with what he says in some of them now.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it'll come way, way better. So yeah, Sam Oven's videos are pretty good.
Decent. Yeah. Go off the principles. That's it, really. Also, just go to source. Like, someone's telling you something, try and find out, like, where they learned it, and then the person who learned that, go on. And eventually, you might just go back and end up having to read a bunch of really old books, I think, but that's the rawest form. I mean, obviously, people can
Use some stuff. It's bigger like, ROI in the beginning to learn fundamentals over, like, new shiny tactics.
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make the product good.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good product.
That's my favorite business lesson/philosophy. It's just make what you're selling really, really fucking good.
Yeah. How do you make something good?
By figuring out the most efficient way to solve problems that people are having. It's problem solving at scale. Not even necessarily at scale, but usually at scale.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Like, a lot of people think, oh, I need to make something really good. I need to invent like this brand new, like breakthrough product, and no one's like ever heard of this, like 0 to 1, like the new technology that's gonna save the world or change the world. But it's like, maybe, but in the beginning, that's kind of probably quite tough. Like, I'm gonna invent the technology that's gonna save climate change or whatever. I think like
Which, by the way, there's a whole other group of people who do stuff like that, and they get, like, big, massive grants.
Startups.
Yeah, Mia knows. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, there, communities like ours that do online stuff, there's, like, whole communities of people who are trying to invent technology and get
funds. Combinator and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's, well, yeah, I guess we haven't really been talking about that, but, yeah, there is. But for this space, I guess that's kind of irrelevant then. But yeah, just basically just look for problems is what I was getting at. Don't look
at the end of the at the end of the day, whatever you're doing, you're solving problems.
The bigger the problem you solve, and the wealthier the people you solve it for, the more value you create.
Even if you are creating some big life-changing technology, it's still to solve problems.
Yes, yes, yes. But it's a very big problem.
Yes.
To start.
But it can be a very simple problem too. Whatever you're doing, if you want, if you're not in the technology, well, good thing you can. You know, you can start mowing your neighbor's lawn for like a certain amount of money and then expand.
Yeah.
That's also, if you want to start, well, that's not necessarily money online, but if you want to start making money really quick, yeah, dude, just start a freaking service-based business in your area.
Have you seen people do that?
I've not seen people do that in my area, no, no one. Like actually, no, I have. I've seen one person in my school. He started making good money selling flyers.
And scaled it.
I think he was, I don't know how much money he was making, but I heard it was a lot of money. And he won awards and stuff. And he was like buying his own car and things from the money he was making selling flowers locally.
Interesting. Do you have multiple shops?
I don't think he had a shop. I think he just had his...
The hell?
The
dropshipping shops of Alibaba.
The air, his garden, and then he would just, either people would come and pick them up, or people, he would deliver it to people.
That's really cool. Damn, bro. Some like rare flowers. I guess you don't know that much about it.
I don't know that much. I don't know exactly about flowers, but I know he had lots of repeat buyers.
Get him on the podcast, bro. Honestly, I wonder the like the LTV of a customer is for that. Like, or LTGP, like lifetime gross profit, or lifetime value. Because get him for Valentine's Day, get him for Mother's Day. Boom, that's two a year already.
Yeah, and I think his core market was older people. He just liked buying flowers.
Oh yeah, like my auntie.
Which that was a good market to sell in frickin' Strabane in Northern Ireland. It's like, well, yes, that's an expanding market, old people.
Yes, that's actually a sick sales strategy. Go to Japan and sell to old people.
Yeah.
Aging population. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So yeah, I guess I saw him do that. I don't even know if you call that a service-based business. I guess it was a product, but yeah, you can also just be like,
I don't know, because it sounds good in theory, but like, how easy is it to start like a lawn mowing business and scale it? I don't know. I generally think that, I don't know.
Well,
you
I mean,
can definitely make money doing
it. I think there's better options, but like, if you really need to make money quick, like, that's all you gotta do.
I wouldn't, yeah. The scaling part is gonna be tough, because you have to have like, vans probably.
Well, as long as you're protecting your margins, you can just get more clients and then hire out labor.
Yeah, I mean, it can be done, but we don't want to give people financial advice.
Yeah, I'm not telling you to do this. I didn't do this, but I'm just saying there's a lot more ways to make money than you think, and at the end of the day, all of it comes down to solving problems.
Yes, and the bigger problem you solve, well, not entirely, because you have to figure out a way to capture the value, but generally bigger problem you solve, the more money you'll make.
I guess so. I'd also say, yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways around it.
More risk and accountability you have as well.
Yeah, and also it can be the same problem, but if it's for a rich person, you'll get paid a lot more.
Yes, true.
Like a rich person.
But that is by definition a bigger problem, because they value the pain higher.
I guess so, but also it's like, yeah, rich person will probably pay it a lot more for a haircut than
yeah, because the pain
Joe Schmo from the street.
They value. Does that? I think that does still make sense of what I said, but I know what you're saying 100%.
Yeah.
Joe Schmo
is gonna be pissed that you've increased your price by like a pound from last time. And that person's just going to give you like a 50 quid tip just because, like, yeah, enjoy this. Thank you.
Happy money. Yeah.
So there's lots of ways to do it. You just got to get started. But again, if that's even what you want to do. But no matter what you do, if you want to make money, you got to solve problems.
Well, let's zoom out even more. What do you want to do? That's something I think people actually need to think about. Like, and also, this is another massive thing I think was maybe even a problem for me as well, like, at the start. But I think, you know, people say, like, oh, you have a goal. You need a goal. People are like, that's kind of... I feel like a lot of people think that's kind of, like, a big thing. And someone's going to hold them to it. And like, oh, you set this goal and you didn't do it. Like, or you changed your mind. I think, like, it's absolutely fine, especially in the beginning, to, like, set some goal and, like, change it as you go.
Yeah.
Or like change the path to the goal, maybe it would be a better way.
I think in the beginning you just don't know enough, so you gotta be in like that eclecting mode and just try stuff.
Yes, you cannot steer a parked car. You gotta be moving.
Yeah, and I also like the analogy of, in terms of what you want to do, is to not view it like an actual choice. It's not intellectual choice, that's an illusion.
Intellectual choice is an illusion.
Of what you actually want to do, yeah. You can't choose what you actually want to do. It's like play. Obsession. It's like a child in a play park doesn't sit contemplating about whether it wants to play on the swing more or the slide, and like sizing them up and trying and going, I think I like this one more.
Fill out a spreadsheet.
Yeah, exactly.
Pros and cons.
It will just play on both and then naturally start playing on one more than the other. And then some children might be weird and enjoy climbing trees more.
Whoa. Come on, we're ostracizing them from the group.
Yeah, but that's okay. They're still having fun.
But
then they think that that's wrong because it's, yeah, weird. And it's not a part of the play part, but it's the thing to enjoy. You smack your head?
Yes.
Let's go.
Seeing the world clearly now.
So, yeah. I like that framework.
Yeah.
I think you just got to try stuff and see what you are naturally inclined to. And if you're in too much pain, then that's okay. That's even better. Just use pain to motivate you to get out of whatever situation you're in. And once you get good at something, you'll probably enjoy it anyway. If not, because you're too much trauma attached to it, hopefully you're in a better place, you can start trying some more stuff. I'd say.
Yeah. What pain? I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's because I can sit here telling people about, like, oh, yeah, I think you should
go
after what you love. But it's like, yeah, dude, if you're in, like, straight poverty and, like, your mom's starving or something, it's like, okay, well, yeah, screw everything else I'm saying. Just, like, make money as fast as you can. You don't have to sit here contemplating, or not contemplating, but, like, experimenting. And money's also not the be-all, end-all. This is just for people who want to make money, like, specifically. What's your motivation for money?
Freedom.
Why do you want freedom?
Oh God, here we're going deep now. Why do I want freedom? Because I don't like not feeling free.
Why not? What are you trying to escape from?
That's a base instinct, no?
Oh, what is it you're escaping from? What are you not free from?
Oh, I see. Right, okay. Well, it's like I didn't... At least at the beginning, it's still the same that, like... Don't just want to, like, spend... 50 years or whatever, like, doing something I don't really like.
Do you need money to do something you like?
I did consider becoming a monk at one point. So,
do you need money to do something? You're like, no, you don't. But I think it's a good route. And I think the thing with financial freedom is if you change your mind of what you want as your goal, like, you then have the resources and freedom to do that.
And how do you define financial freedom?
Enough money to comfortably cover expenses at least reasonably passively.
Forever?
In the purest sense, then probably yes. But I think you could say, like, oh, I have financial freedom for 10 years currently. But I think if you get to that point, like, well, you can't know if you would have it forever until you test those systems.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you want to have the option to not work if you don't want to, / work on whatever you want.
It's mainly the second one, because I thought about changing the goal, to be honest, like, to do work on something I love that helps people, that I could see myself doing for a long time, where I want to, when I want to, with who I want to. So it was more less focused on, like, oh yes, financial freedom, and then I'll, like, just do what I want, versus, like, okay, I actually do believe that I'm going to want to work on something that I find purposeful. It's not that different, but it's kind of would probably happen anyway.
Do you think everyone should strive for financial freedom?
No, I don't think anyone should do anything, really, to be honest.
So just everyone should have free will, full stop, no other shoulds?
I don't know. Who am I to tell people what they should do? I think there's some actions that... No, I think I do believe there are things that are just, like, bad, full stop.
Yeah, definitely.
And I would say you should not do those.
Like, kill people?
Yeah. Generally.
There's definitely a few things. But that's more of, like, a should not, not a should.
It's the same thing to a different degree.
I guess so. But,
Well, no, I don't know. Should you ever... I don't know. Cut your hair. Should you ever... No, I don't think you should ever do anything.
I don't think I should ever cut my hair.
You shouldn't do what I think is wrong.
Yeah, at the end of the day, as long as you're not hurting anyone or yourself too badly, free will is always good. Yeah, my thing with financial freedom, I think, has just been a similar thing, if you want to call it financial freedom.
Financial freedom is a scam.
It's a little bit of a cringe word, but...
that's a cringe.
Like, oh, I want financial freedom.
Damn, bro, you sound like a hater from university.
Well, I don't know, I've just heard it a lot, I guess, but,
deep trauma resurfaced.
Money wounds, trauma.
The Flippin' Midnight podcast, it all comes out.
Yeah, I think my motivation, yeah, is just to be able to...
And also, like, freedom for people around me as well. I didn't say that, but that is definitely part of it. But I think you have to start with yourself, and then you can go to, like, family, friends, and society, community.
Yeah, exactly. World. I definitely want to help my family and Mia. People at large, too, but that I don't think that's, like, a... You know, in terms of just, oh, I want to make tons of money to give it all away. I think I'd be lying if I said that's, like, a core driver.
Evil capitalist.
But I definitely do want to give it away to to me and my immediate family and friends. And then, yeah, do good with it too. I think, yeah, I just wanted it for the sake of, yeah, just having the choice to work on the things I want, not being dependent on anyone else. And
freedom, baby.
And yeah, just have the, I'm able to help the people I love and do the things that I want to do. It's just a good goal.
Yeah.
Overall.
No, I really do think it is, like, as goals go, generally.
Yeah.
It's good. It's definitely way better than I want to make 10k a month, or I want to make 100k a month, or I want to make a million a month. Because that does not stop.
Yeah.
I want to make a million a month until when?
Until I hit it.
So you hit it.
So, you now hit I want to make 10 million a month.
Oh, I see. Yeah. 100%. But the thing with, like, financial freedom, yeah, it's like a... That's why I said the thing, like, love, do something you're passionate about that helps people at scale, blah, blah, blah. Honestly, I don't even know if the at scale part, I would actually put that in, but... Because... I was just opening the windows, by the way, because I was getting too hot with this suit on. Jeez. Oh. Gotta keep the dream alive.
Yeah. But, gotta keep the brand image up, bro.
Yeah. When you see this... When you subconsciously see this, you should think.
We've literally been here for 2 months, and this is the first time I realized he brought his freaking suit.
I told
on the last day.
You must have forgotten. Well, you just never heard properly.
I either didn't hear or I forgot, but I just think it's funny that...
If you forgot, that's probably even funnier.
Yeah.
This is how long it's been. Oh, yeah, we're going to do a podcast. Yeah, yeah. We're doing, like, near the end. Oh, let's try and do it in this nice place. Yeah, yeah. Oh, bro, in the flipping, like...
Hotel
that's, like, not as optimal, but whatever.
It's okay.
But yeah, financial freedom, I would say, is a good goal, because you can actually hit it and then it's done. Like, I guess you could say, oh, I want to make a million a month for 10 months, but that's such a weird goal. But yeah, because then you're free, and then it's more about, like, well, you can just be free right now. You choose to be free. But
that's true.
You can do, like, what you're actually really purposeful, like, what if you can just sit and figure out, like, where can I add the most value, what do I really love, what, yeah, I mean, you just, it's like a stepping stone. So I feel like the whole 100k a month thing is, like, it's not really a stepping stone, it's just like, then what, you know, then just scale and just become a billionaire.
Yeah, because you're not really achieving anything that tactical unless you've got a purpose for wanting that particular number. But it's just like, okay, well, I've hit this number. Now it's time for another number.
I'm cool. I have this number.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's good to be able to work on what you want, when you want, to help the people around you and not be dependent on anyone. It's just good. Everyone would probably benefit from something like that. But you gotta put in a lot of work to get there.
Everyone would benefit from something like that. Hold up, sir. You think?
Yeah.
What if you, like, don't use money and you're, like, bartering? You're like a monk and you, like, live off of, like, donations. You bless people in the village and they give you food.
Well, I'm not saying everyone should do that, but
it's a good thing for everyone.
Yeah.
The monk would have an increased quality of life if he had financial freedom.
Probably.
Interesting. You also have to take the stress response, like, associated with that, though.
Yeah, I guess it's the same as saying, oh, everyone would benefit from, like, being in perfect shape, or, you know. It's like, well, yeah, but not everyone can get that.
Yes, they can. They can.
Not everyone.
Yes, they can. Why not?
What about people with missing limbs?
Okay, well, I guess it depends what your definition of perfect shape is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be tough to have perfectly sculpted legs if you don't have any legs. I agree with that, yeah.
And other disabilities, too. Other than just, like, missing parts. That's the most obvious extreme example.
Perfect's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, bro, okay. Yes, I guess it depends on the definition of perfect. But I think if you I think anyone could be in. Okay, fair enough. Yeah, because perfect. What does that even mean? You know.
Yeah.
What does that mean? I don't know. Apparently, if you have missing limbs, you can't be in perfect shape. Sorry about that.
Well, you can be in perfect shape for you.
Yeah.
But also, not really. No one can really be in perfect shape.
I'm not trying to cancel you.
You can always be in a slightly better shape. You can always be slightly better. So who cares?
Genetic max, bro.
In theory, you can hit genetic max, but in practice, can you?
I think very, very few people ever do, if you even can.
I'm not sure you even could. Because actual genetic max would mean pretty much living your whole life perfectly.
It's for like an asymptote, you know? Like... it's like a line.
Yeah, exactly.
Some
math stuff,
boys and girls.
Yeah, you got to prepare this for your math
people
exam.
Going on boys
in
or
a,
girls.
In a few
this
days.
This dotted line, it never reaches, but it just gets infinitely closer. Because say you're at like 0.9, you want to get to 1, you just go halfway in between 0.9 and 1.
Yeah.
And then you go halfway and you never get there.
You're always going half of the distance that you actually need to go.
Until you get to a Planck length. Which is the smallest thing in physics, and nothing can move a smaller distance than that.
Nothing can move a smaller distance than that?
Yeah, that's like the minimum you have to move. Which means teleportation is real. Because if you think about it, that means that there is a... Does it? I think it does. That means that there's a finite number of spaces you can be in, right?
I guess.
If that is true. Which I'm pretty sure that's what modern physics believes is true.
But also, isn't the universe infinitely large?
Is it?
I don't know, is it? I mean, is there an end? Do you hit a wall?
You stand on the wall, shoot an arrow. Where does the arrow land? Hits another wall. You heard that analogy?
No.
Basically, just like the universe... It doesn't make sense for the universe to be infinite or... finite.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Which is just crazy.
And also doesn't make sense for the universe to have always existed or to have just suddenly come into existence.
Yes.
Neither makes sense. So there's clearly something we're not understanding. Talk about see the world clearly.
Yes, yes. See the world less... I mean, don't see the world as fuzzy as you do now. See the world a bit clearer.
Yeah.
Enough to get your lawnmower business to the 10k a month.
Buy my course, guys. I'll show you how to get the 10k a month mowing lawns, hiring other people to do it.
Never.
So it's
ever.
No work, 90 days or less, no effort, 2 hours a day.
We don't offer refunds.
Guaranteed.
Because
better
we don't
than
want people to steal our knowledge. Select few.
Guaranteed results. But yeah.
Right. Let's take a little pivot. What is your number one lesson from this trip? Or it doesn't have to be the number one, just a big lesson. I should ask you some more like funky questions as well, because this is just boring, bro. I like this, it's good.
I honestly don't even know, because
at this point in your life,
I feel like so much of what I learned on this trip is molded into just my subconscious, and I don't even realize I learned it on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just been so much intense learning for such a long time. But some things that stand out is just the philosophy of making the product amazing above everything else. Your product and your business should be growing without you having to market it.
Your product should be growing.
The business. For the product.
Yeah.
I think that one's really good. Life wise, it's like, yeah, I mean, life's short and we're all gonna die.
Yeah, that's a fun story.
And I guess we haven't even talked about that yet.
Should we go there?
Sure.
Because I don't think you're gonna make a different video on that, are you? Well, I guess it's gonna be in your video, but
yeah, we can might as well talk about it here. Have people made it this far?
Early access. Not even subscribed to a Patreon, gosh. Giving away so much free value. So I guess it's the national animal for Romania, I'm pretty sure it's bears, right? So
We're you know, at the bottom of this mountain, and sun's going down, basically starting to go down. We're like, oh, you know, there's this sign, like a Hollywood sign, on top of the mountain. We're like, oh, we want to go up and watch like the sun.
But it says Brasov, not Hollywood.
Yes, Brasov. What a place. Yeah, honestly, what a place. Highly, highly recommend. If you're in Romania, DM me. Oh, I got somewhere for you to stay. Need to get a video link for that, actually. But yeah, I mean, sun's starting to go down. We're going, we're like, oh, we thought we were going to be able to go up this cable car to the top, but they stopped running it. And we're like, okay, well, let's walk up. It's not that big. Well, I mean, it's, yeah, and then we keep going past three people. Which way do we go? Yeah, keep going this way, keep going this way. Half an hour to get there. Yeah, we keep following this blue marker on the tree that someone mentioned before. But I think what we're supposed to do is follow the blue marker until we get to a place and then turn left. But we didn't really realize where the place was. So we're following this. And how long were we following that? I generally think it was even more than we thought, honestly. Like, yeah, over an hour, I'm pretty sure.
Basically, we spent hours climbing up this really steep mountain, which we had saw signs had all this wildlife in it, like bears and
lynx,
bobcats, and yeah, and
foxes are fine,
wild boars and
wild
stuff.
Boars, yeah.
Yeah, so it had all this stuff, but we were like, Google says that it's safe. There's these other people walking it, so we'll just go up. We spent hours walking up it, completely missed the sign, completely overshot the sign, completely. Tried to watch the sunset. We never even found a clearing because it was covered in trees. But we still sort of saw the sunset.
Found a clearing very late.
Somewhat.
Morning, but the sun was down.
And then we're like, okay, let's just try and come back another day. So then we started walking down the mountain. Again, really steep. Just talking, got about halfway down. At this point, we realized we haven't even seen anyone for the past few hours.
Right, all the shadows are like really low.
In fact, the only
dark.
The only people we'd actually saw
someone's down
were coming down. Because I was pretty much down. So at this point,
yeah,
we're like
half. The sky was still a little bit light.
We're about halfway down the mountain. People are gone. We haven't seen anyone in ages. It's getting dark. We're just sort of talking. And then we just hear big. And we're just like, what the hell?
Like a massive like stick being like, bro, like a proper like stick, probably like this big or something.
Yeah, we're
like,
surrounded by woods. So we're on a path on woods and mountain.
Yeah. When you said we were halfway down, I mean, yeah, you were right. But basically, like, if you think about it, we walked up this really steep part and then like along for ages, so we were still like on the flat part at the top.
Yeah, and yeah, we were just like stopped. We're like, no way, is that a freaking bear? We're like, no way, bro. I like, let's just keep walking. And then we walk, and then we just hear, it's like a freaking movie. It's just like, it sounds like it's coming out, and like it's.
Was it, bro? I thought the first time I heard it, I thought stop. and then I was just like, we just didn't move.
Yeah, well, we just thought we could walk past it, and then we tried to, and
didn't
then
we.
Yeah, we tried at one point. We were going to do that. We were like,
honestly, but I don't, my memory.
And yeah, then we just heard it crunch and crunch. We're like, oh shit, oh shit. And so then we ran into the ditch on the other side, into the forest, like hiding behind another bush. And we're kind of like looking out, like, fuck, and like pure shaking. And then we just hear.
What is this storytelling, bro? Keep going.
And then we just hear more from behind us. And it's like, oh my God, there's another freaking bear behind us. Dude, we got to get out of here. And then we run back up onto the path, and we look down, and we see two bears right in front of us. So we're literally surrounded by freaking bears in all directions. And we're like, oh God, thinking we're like, we're about to get attacked and mauled to death. So we
keep going.
So then we have to go back up the mountain, because there's no way we're going through any secret way down through a forest, or we're absolutely going to get attacked. So we have to go back up the path, back up, you know, the halfway up the mountain, go across it again, find another path down the other side. But at this point now it's completely pitch black. We're not speaking because we don't want to attract any bears because we're shitting ourselves. We don't want to turn on a light because we don't want to attract any bears. And we're just listening out for any sounds. So it's just pitch black up this mountain. We can't see anything. And we're just falling around in the dark, kind of like stumbling. I literally nearly slid down a cliff at one point. Like not even joking. Like a one-handed not like a cliff I would have died on, like a cliff like you would have slid down and like
long, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, just stumbling around like that, thinking we might die for like 2 or 3 hours.
Quite a while.
And yeah, then eventually we made it down. Luckily, we survived. And
cool.
got an Uber and we just kind of sat in silence, just like, bro, what the hell? And got back and we're coming out of fight or flight a little bit. Just like, wow, we were just up a mountain surrounded by bears. And there were brown bears too. So like, apparently they don't attack you unless you act like macho or if you get in the way of their cubs. But you know, if there was multiple of them, we definitely could have been in the way of their cubs. So, you know, we might have been fine because obviously people are walking up there all the time. But also we might not have been.
Yeah, it's like one of those things you don't even know.
And also the fact that, yeah, because we went so far overshot where we were trying to go, it's not where normal people were walking. So I think we weren't even...
Only weird people who climb trees walking over that.
Normal people. Literally, it was only people riding bikes is all we saw over that far.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think we weren't even in the touristy area. So I think it might have been actually a pretty dangerous area to be walking at night. And yeah, we saw bears and we survived a bear surrounding.
That was interesting. So I, you know, your story was rather extravagant. I'm not sure it was 100% like that, but
I had to give it the excitement.
I don't think I ever actually ran. Not remember trying to go past the bears, bro.
We definitely did.
Well, the first one, really?
The first one, yeah. You don't remember, like, we were trying it, and we were going really slowly.
We did. We didn't get very far.
We didn't get
very far. We heard, like, something moving, I think. Then we stopped, and then we were like, huh. And then, I don't know if we didn't hear it or what, but then we started walking, and I think that's when I heard the crunch, and I was like, bro, that is a big thing. I don't know what that is. Someone stepped on a big branch, and it's gone crack. And then we were like, okay, right, I think we just stopped them for a bit. And then we went, like, off the path, basically. Like, because the bear's, like... We do a little picture. Where we think the bear is. Right. This is what you're flipping paying for, bro. You're not even paying for this. This is what you're watching for. Right. Bear. Or roughly where we hear the bear. Path. Us. Which to block. Okay, we were walking this way.
Yeah.
We'll make sure people definitely see that. We're walking up the path. And then we hear the bear, and we're like, we just stop. And then the bear's, like, flipping, rummaging around here. Didn't you... I don't think I 100% saw it. I saw something dark, like, in the middle of the path. You said you saw, like, two blobs on the path, right?
Whenever we come back out, yeah.
We didn't see, like, a flipping snout, okay? Like,
yeah,
right
we didn't get, like, clear views, so it's also possible...
It was just a pig.
That, like...
No, I don't think so. I'm 90.
Oh, it definitely wasn't a pig. But it is possible, like, our brain was just convincing us two random blobs were bears just to get us the hell out of there. But there was definitely bears surrounding us, because those were heavy-ass steps.
Yeah, so, yeah, we try and, like, creep a little bit up here, but then we hear it moving again. We're like, nah, bro. So then we start going back, and we still hear it on that side, and we thought it was coming, like, across onto the path, so we want to go, like, you know, away from it, not just backwards. We actually want to go literally the opposite direction it's going. But then we get to here, and then we hear, like... down the side of this hill, somewhere down here. Where's the pen? Where's my arrow? Here. We hear something like off the side of the cliff by here. I'm like, oh my god. It's another big thing, like rustling through the leaves. I'm like, I don't think that one was... I don't know, bro. I actually think that one might have been closer.
Yeah, it was very close.
I think it was less... It felt less direct because there wasn't like a straight path. But like, I genuinely think that was...
That was close.
How many meters do you think?
No, I think it could have been just like behind that big bush thing behind us.
Generally like 25 meters or something.
Yeah, bro. Literally.
Wild. Like that. When we heard that, we're like, nah, bro. So then we go from here. I'm going to draw it first. And then we're here, bear, go up here. Nope, we hear a bear, back. Okay, let's go away from the bear. Oh, there's another bear. Okay, and then back down the path.
And it was up, it was like right there was where we saw the two bears, like on the actual path.
Yeah, they like, I think it walked on. Well, that's what we think. We didn't actually see a snout, but Jamie, I think, had a clearer vision, whatever the hell you want to call it, than me. Like, I saw something black. But honestly, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, technically all I saw too was like two big black blobs, but I was like very convinced it was bears.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, those are two freaking bears on the path.
I think there's a good chance that it was, because there was definitely bears around us. So
yeah.
It's not unreasonable that they just stepped on the path.
Yeah.
Because to be fair, I would not want to be flipping pushing through leaves all the time.
Yeah.
Just use the path the humans made.
But
and also when I say we ran back, we actually just sort of sped walked silently back.
Yeah, because we usually not want to like make a massive sound and then like freak them out or anything. But
yeah,
and then stumbling around the dark. Yeah, I would say that's pretty accurate. I think we could kind of see the silhouettes of trees, so we kind of had an idea of like where the path was. But like, yeah, so many times, like, bro, I was genuinely like, bro, if you roll your ankle, I think this is going to be so much longer and more painful than it needs
to be. Yeah, I nearly rolled my ankle a lot. I fell over a lot.
I heard a lot of, like, I was like, bro, is he gone? His ankle's gone? No. And he's like, no, it's good, it's good. I'm like, oh, bro, stay with me. To be fair, I did, like, slip and stuff as well.
Yeah, I thought maybe you might have damaged your laptop at one point, because you fell back on your laptop, like... Because we also had a laptop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had like, yeah, we were like going to record some stuff up there with the laptops. Like, wow, we made it to here. We made it for the podcast.
Yeah, clearly your laptop's fine.
Let's go.
We had to live to get him home for his A-levels.
For the podcast. Oh, gosh. No, that's for another day. Wow. I would think the rest of it was fine, yeah.
Yeah.
Fact check the story.
Fact check. It was funny.
It was good. I liked your passion.
Passionate storytelling.
Yeah, it was pretty
surreal. I genuinely, I don't know about Owen, but I think we both had similar thoughts of like, oh my gosh, we might actually die.
I was just like trying to just keep focusing like on the now, like,
what, yeah, me too, but to, I was like... also still definitely in fight or flight.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, afterwards I was just thinking, like, even during it, like, oh my gosh, like, all my problems are so little, like, if I just survive this. And I think since then it's become even more obvious and clear that you never know when your life's going to be over, and even if you do live to an old age, eventually it is going to end.
Eventually, a bear's going
to get you. So honestly, it's like, no matter what, like, why aren't you just trying to live the life that you want to live?
It's all going to end. It's just a question of when.
So I think that just automatically just takes out any other argument anyone has. It's like, bro, we're literally all gonna die.
Your argument is destined.
I don't care. Like, just do what you want to do. Like, why would you do anything different? And I think that's been the biggest life lesson from this trip.
Cool, bro. Yeah, shame you had to go into a sketchy scenario.
It's okay. I don't actually know how actually life-threatening it was.
I think it's one of those things you're never gonna know. Like, yeah. I think it genuinely could have been like really dangerous. Also just like not that dangerous.
I'm sure it wasn't that dangerous, because if there's tons of tourists, even if they're not in that specific area, there's still tons of people just constantly up and down that mountain. And if it was even somewhat regular, even very, very rarely regular, that bears would attack and kill humans, like, that would not be the case, you know?
I would feel like if it was going to do it, that would be the time, though. When there's no one else there, it's dark. These guys can't see anything.
Yeah, well, that's why it felt so freaking dangerous, like, to us.
Massive nose that's, like, evolved to sniff things out. Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I was wondering. Like, if it's going to attack something, it's probably going to be now. Let's go. Yeah.
But, yeah, so those are my two biggest lessons from the
trip. What was the first one? So it was,
well, the first one was a business one.
Think you're going to die or whatever, like...
Just always do what is best for you and your life and family and what you actually want to do, because you're going to die. Literally just remembering, which might sound morbid, but just remembering you're going to die is a good reframe of like, oh yeah, why the hell am I doing this thing? I'm going to die. And the other one was just the business lesson, which was like,
oh, make the product good.
Yeah, the philosophy.
You could leave life right now. Let that determine what you do and say and think. Marcus Aurelius, what a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good philosophy.
So crack out meditations again. Didn't bring it. Cool.
What was your biggest lesson? Also, bro, how long do you want this podcast to be? I feel like it might be like really long now.
It's been 1 hour and 24 minutes.
Okay. So,
do you want to go to bed?
No, I honestly thought it might have been like going over 2 hours, and I'm like...
We can. I don't think I've had one that long. But honestly, I feel like in-person ones tend to be... I guess it depends on the person. Because to be fair, our first one was 1 hour and 40 minutes, and then the second one was... second one was shorter. The second one that's on YouTube, the one that's actually on YouTube now is... Yeah. Just... Should... Yeah. lot to be said about that. Yeah. But it's staying up. Basically, I just try to model the first conversation and remember everything we said and just say it again, but like that was so boring and like so like forced and yeah.
It's okay. I'm sure people find it interesting.
Apparently they did. I know someone told you they really liked it.
Yeah.
Number one thing I've learned on the trip, or like something big. Give me a minute.
Gotta get in thinking pose.
There's a lot, bro. Like, I don't see a lesson, but the thing that's gonna have the biggest implications, I think, is just like, yeah, just like going in on something, like really focused, and yeah.
Yeah, that's also an amazing takeaway, which wasn't like a direct lesson. It's just like, yeah, seeing what actually happens whenever you go all in for a while.
Biggest lesson is don't go up an Eastern European mountain at night time.
That's a good lesson.
So many, bro. Yeah, I think it's maybe a bit more strategic, maybe. Like, yeah, like what we were doing the first month was so stupid, looking back. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was a season, but yeah, like, you can definitely, like, and the thing is, I already knew this, so I don't know what. I guess I wasn't sacrificing sleep at that point at all.
Yeah, well,
I
didn't. First of all, we weren't sacrificing
sleep. So I think that was why I felt fine about it, but, like, you can actually, like, productively rest. Now,
definitely.
You don't want to, you know, Jamie will, I don't know. I mentioned this before, and you're like, huh, yeah, interesting. But you probably don't want to go, like, you can, like, just, you know, oh, I'm productively breaking and just never do anything. But, yeah, I think we kind of found the edge a bit, which was good in some ways, actually, to know. But
yeah, basically, for the first month, we, like, were only going outside to go to the shop that was, like, a 5-minute walk away. Like, once a week. And that was it. Other than that, we just woke up, worked.
Maybe did, like, 15 push-ups here and there, but really
not. Randomly. I would speak to me on Zoom. But other than that, it was just wake up, work. Work on laptop. Learn/discuss. Eat food. Work on laptop.
Eat once a day.
Yeah, eat once a day.
Honestly, I'm still a fan of that, but, yeah.
Work on laptop and, and then go to sleep and then wake up and repeat. That was basically it. And that was crazy.
I actually can't believe we did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a good idea to, like, not barely get any, like, sunlight and, you know, don't really do much exercise and just, like, sit inside and...
Stare at the screen.
More productive, you know, because, you know, you have to, like, be sitting in front of your desk all day. Otherwise, it's not productive.
And then, yeah, after, like, a month of doing that, at one point we decided, let's take a walk. And we actually went out for a walk in, like, the sunny, like, actually warm, sunny Romania, and it was the most blissful walk I've ever had in my life. My body was like, ah, it was so good.
Yeah, yeah. We said, like, yeah.
I was like, bro, let's never do this again. Let's actually just go out and walk, so, like, no matter what, how focused period we're in.
Especially as you get more leveraged, it's just... I think there's kind of a time and a place for it in the beginning, but even what we were doing there is, I don't think, sustainable. Like, even if you have, like...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're in, like, severe amounts of pain, you could keep that up for multiple months. And we maybe could have just firmed it, but I don't think, like, it would have led to the best outputs. Because a lot we do is more, like...
Creative thinking.
It's heading more towards that way, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What else... I don't need as many social medias as I think. I basically just used... Well, I guess school.com a little bit for some DMs. WhatsApp, that's the main one. Discord for masterminds. an email sometimes just for kind of like travel and stuff. And like verification codes. That was 4. I got rid of Instagram, got rid of Twitter, got rid of Telegram. And honestly got rid of school mostly. Just some DMs. And nothing bad happened. Only good things happened. And I felt more focused and I didn't miss it. So I think I'm going to keep doing that, honestly. I'm just going to keep trying to consolidate my social medias.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because, yeah, bro. I need to check this. It's like, no, you don't. It's that important. They can come to the other platform that you prefer to use or that all your stuff's on. They can message you there if they really need you.
Yeah.
Also, the nature of the work I'm doing at this point is very focused. It's not like I'm sending like bunch of outreaches or anything, so.
Yeah. Different phase.
Like, literally no benefit. Only downside to having more distractions. This is, time's kind of going quick, bro.
Yeah, we're literally about to say goodbye, like, in 12 hours or less.
Oh, wait. 12 hours? Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, we should probably go to sleep soon. The Lord time is.
Yeah, we're going to go to sleep after this, wake up, have our breakfast, and then,
7:48. I mean, 9:48.
Have our breakfast, and then I'm going to wave, goodbye. And as long as you don't leak this early, I'm staying an extra day and I'm gonna fly to Dubai to surprise Mia.
Yeah. No, there's no way, bro. There's no way this is coming out tomorrow. No. Yeah. I mean, it could, but I don't
think so. I mean, if you're watching this now, this was the night before.
And I knew all along. Mwahaha.
Yeah, we did a lot of planning. Mia thinks I'm flying back to Ireland, but I'm flying to Dubai to meet her and I've not seen her in 5 months, so.
Oh, yeah, bro. Can you talk a little bit about this? Like, what's the plan? Did you guys talk about this? Because, like, not the whole thing. I already heard a lot of it, but what are you genuinely doing, like, to do? Because she thinks you're flying back tomorrow, right? But you're not.
Yeah, I actually didn't realize what she thought. She thinks I'm, like, getting on a plane right now. She probably thinks I'm in a plane right now.
That's a real mistake.
So, I'm going to have to say something like, well, yeah, I mean, I could easily just say, oh, I'm getting the plane. Because she's only arrived back in Dubai today, so I'm trying to give her more time with her family before I land too. Her family knows I'm coming.
Shake up the show.
Yeah, exactly, because they've not seen her in months either. And so I'm trying to give them the weekend, so I'm not going to fly back until Sunday night. But that's when it looks sus for me. She's going to be like, why are you just staying in Bucharest the whole weekend before flying home?
Because Bucharest is so amazing.
Especially when Owen's leaving first thing in the morning. So the only thing I could really say to that is,
I don't know.
It was the cheapest flight. It was on Sunday, so I booked an extra night, which doesn't really make any sense. So I don't know what I'm going to say.
I think that's not that bad of a reason. When is it Sunday night, the flight?
Yeah.
No, bro, that's decent, because I swear, actually, do people travel on Sunday night? Maybe they do. They're going home. I don't know. I feel like that's too late, you know? I feel like people would go before that. And if there's not many people traveling, then it would normally be cheaper, right? Or no?
And plus also, I guess we're in Romania, so I can just say the hotels were really cheap, which they kind of are cheap, but. So yeah, honestly, that'll probably just be my excuse. But she probably will get a little sus of it anyway. She'll be like, why is he staying so long? Because she knows that wouldn't really be, like, something I would do. Just because it was cheaper, I wouldn't be like, oh, let me just stay an extra day by myself in Romania. Unless it was, like, crazy cheap.
I have more than enough.
But, yeah, then I'm going to fly to Dubai. Her mom's going to pick me up. She's still going to think I'm flying home to Ireland. And then, I don't know, we're going to sort something. I'm going to come surprise her in her apartment, which will be super fun. She thinks we're not meeting each other for, like, another 2 weeks. So, it'll be nice.
Yes. Well, here's a question. This is kind of random. Uh-huh. Who? Oh, I guess it could be more of a prediction than a who do you think. But yeah, who do you think my next in-person podcast guest is going to be?
Mm.
Longest he's thought this
either
whole
time. Sam or Mia.
Sam Alcatone,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's gonna be, maybe it's gonna be you and Mia. Three on the bed. One set.
Three on the bed.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I reckon that's probably right.
Yeah.
If we see Sam.
Probably more likely Mia, because I don't know when. It's not guaranteed that you're going to see Sam, but you're pretty much guaranteed you're going to see Mia. So.
Yeah, I should have done one with the guys in Brighton. Jeez, bro. I thought about it. I was like, I'm going to bring my camera, but what happened was my phone. That was the reason why. Mm. I was like, there's no way. My phone has, like, can record for, like, 5 minutes, and then it'll be like, yo, I have no space.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, boys. Didn't get to be number one. You were supposed to be there as well, so.
We'll get another opportunity, don't worry.
You're here now, so.
It's okay. You're much more familiar with me in person than them because of the 2 months.
Yeah, I think we got over it, though. Like, yeah, it's very odd, though, meeting people you met online first time.
But. Yeah, it's weird that I've done it twice now. It's not weird that I've done it twice, but both times were weird.
Was it less weird?
Probably more weird.
Did you come into my...
Because yeah, I was speaking to Mia more, and I was a lot more mm-hmm. prep for it.
Mm-hmm. Come into my... You better be careful, you come into my area.
But yours is different, just because, yeah, I didn't... Like, I wasn't prepping for it for months, or, like, thinking about it.
Well, you're not, bro. I'm so disappointed.
Well, maybe, like, a month or so. Yeah. But not, like, four or five months.
You do not have to justify it.
And yeah, I guess we still talk quite regularly, to be fair, but
mm-hmm.
me and I talked a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. It was, I don't know. Honestly, both were pretty strange initially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'd say yours was slightly more strange.
I think definitely by the second day in Brighton, we were kind of like, okay, this is what the person is actually like in real life. Because you have kind of an idea, like a pretty good idea. You know how they think.
Yeah.
But it's like you don't, their 3D form.
Yeah, the 3D form is different.
How do they walk down the street? Is they just a deep fake hologram? Okay, Sam, yeah. I mean, honestly, bro, it's a safe prediction. Maybe we have to pull something out of the
bag. I was thinking of going for something like Jordan Peterson, but I was like, nah. He's probably just going to do an in-person podcast
with whoever we mastermind with next, really.
I hear that Jordan Peterson's daughter is with Andrew Tate in the Bugatti around here somewhere, so.
Who says that?
I don't know. We're in Bucharest, bro. We're going to make it happen.
Let's go.
Yeah, maybe I'll get my dad on episode 100. I don't know if honestly that will be done. That probably won't happen before. That's almost like very unlikely.
What episode are we on now?
Don't know, bro. Like 75, 76, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think you're gonna do that many podcast episodes over the next 3 months.
Yeah. Probably not. No.
Because after 3 months, we're all going to meet up again. This time with Mia and probably someone else to mastermind for 5 months.
You're going to have a massive crowd of people, bro. If you didn't know that yet, you're going to have 8 people.
Let's go.
An absolute podcast fest. That'll be so interesting. Okay, and then who do you think the next guest is going to be? Who's not?
I don't know. You interview a lot of niche famous people that I don't know. Maybe Tristan Spohn.
I hear he's good at acting.
I don't even know if we want to give full context for that. But yeah, I'd say that'll be my prediction. Tristan Spohn.
Subscribe. Cool. Yeah, I feel like we are reaching the end of the storyline here.
Yeah. We're at the end of our movie.
Any closing thoughts? Any inspirational messages?
It's been a lot. It's been a wide-ranging topics. So hopefully whoever's listened
all the way through, if you got this far, I mean, yeah, wow. I mean, the most unoptimized episode in history.
But my final messages are,
subscribe. I'll put your links in the description.
Let's go.
Jamie Box, will you check it out?
My and final get your messages are
blue blocking glasses using the affiliate link.
I don't know.
Do what just you love.
Figure out what you want and just don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it.
Yes. It's about trying. It's not about suffering. It's about cause and effect.
And commit to.
But you also don't have to commit at the beginning. But once you figure out what it is you want, commit.
If it is possible within the laws of physics and the laws of the universe, then there is a way that you can have it.
Then the only thing stopping you from having it is knowledge.
And yourself.
Yeah.
You must reinvent yourself constantly and become he who can, or she who can.
Or she who can.
Whoever can.
Become She-Hulk.
Become She-Hulk. That's the end of the podcast right there.
That's a good one.
Alright. Cheers, bro.
Alright.
Thanks.
Been a good trip, bro.
First guest. First in-person guest.
First in-person guest and a good 2 month mastermind.
Yeah, sick. So, yeah, if anyone did watch this far, then we'll see. We'll see how many, but yeah, let me know what you think.
Let's have a code word for the very end.
And yeah, comment banana.
Banana bear.
Banana bear.
Just to make it a little bit more on theme.
Okay, but
comment banana bear.
I'm generally really interested in what people think. I think there's going to be a few people who know us well who are like, yo, it's so hype, and then like, everyone else will be like, what the hell is this video?
Yeah, exactly. It's just for fun. It's just documenting. This is not, like, optimized.
The quality of your audience is much more important than the size of your audience. Yeah. So, like, I'm sure the core fans will love it, but everyone else.
Core fans.
But this will be fun, bro, to look back on 100%.
Definitely, yeah.
So, thanks for being the first guest. I guess you didn't have much choice. I was really quite surprised if you were like, nope, not doing it.
But, oh, yeah. I filmed a video with you, but screw this, I'm not doing the podcast.
Yeah, yeah. He's being held hostage. There's someone like standing over there with a gun, like the whole time. That's a joke. Not financial advice.
Not a threat.
Yeah.
Nothing. All legal stuff.
Report me to the CIA. But yeah, I mean, cheers, bro. It's been good. And hope someone got something out of this.
I'm sure there's some valuable
parts. Our future self will have a good chuckle. That's what they got out of it. Right, okay. See ya. Comment banana bear. And
see ya.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Stay healthy, stay wealthy. And goodbye.